try to be light on the Miz.
Is that because your life has been light on the Miz?
No, I just generally have... Well, yes, it has, I suppose. Yes, you could say that. But I also just actually rather write about light things.
I like to read about those too.
I know there's a big fashion for Miz Mems, you know, miserable memoirs. But like I say in the book, haven't had much Miz and got very, very little Mem.
Let's go to the start then, because I was smiling when you were saying that most of the incidents in this book from your diaries are from January, because really that's as far as you ever get with a diary. So this is sort of the life of Jennifer Saunders
January. Because the remarkable thing was, I found that my mother had kept so much stuff. She kept like the posters off the wall in my bedroom, my teenage bedroom, you know, old Mark Bolan posters
really?
And stuff. Yeah. And she'd kept all my diaries. Everything from the Honey Diary to the Pony Club Diary a little diary with Elf on it that a friend gave me. And the detail I go into in January is quite remarkable, down to the weather.
Yeah, mine always got to sort of Valentine's Day, and then nothing happened on Valentine's, the middle of February, that was it.
So you just thought, that's it. Life is over.
I'm impressed with your mum, though, because I do tell my kids that all their stuff is in the loft. And I'm dreading the age when they say, oh, can I see that box you've got in the loft of all my stuff from, you know, when I was in nursery? Because it doesn't exist, basically.
Well, she kept all my school reports, actually, as well, which I thought was remarkable.
Yeah.
Reading nothing remarkable in them, which was a big... I was so looking forward to it, thinking, oh, I bet I was, like, sullen. I bet I was, like, really miserable. I bet I was hopeless at things and they called me apathetic. But they didn't. Apparently, I was quite cheerful and quite good at things, which is a huge a huge disappointment to me.
Oh, you're disappointing yourself as you look back on your life. That's not a good place to start, is it?
No, it's not at all.
And so sort of setting out and writing it, where did you decide to... I mean, do you start from the very beginning? Where do you start?
No, because I kind of think that if I read a biography, I'm generally bored by people's grandparents. I decided, and they're sort of, you think, oh, I'll start halfway through and then just look at the pictures.
Yeah.
But I would recommend that people start with the pictures, actually.
Because, I did. That's exactly what I did with
yours. Always think it's a good sort of way into a book. And the pictures relate to various stories that I've written about. But it's a series, of course, it's more of a memoir rather than a biography. So, you know, I treat each chapter as if it's a show, because that's how I know how to write. I found it really hard to write at the beginning, thinking I had to write like a writer, you know, like a proper writer.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so I thought, no, I'll just write the way I kind of write, which is like in 30-minute shows, sketch shows. Mm-hmm. It's a sketchbook. There you go.
I am flicking through the pictures now as we speak, and you're test driving a little sort of car, a little toy car. Your brother Tim is sitting on the bonnet. You look fierce in that picture.
I know.
You must only be about two or something.
No, I think I'm probably four.
Are you?
I'm probably a four-year-old.
What, with that haircut?
Yes. And can I say, I'm very disappointed by the haircut, generally. I think that was my biggest disappointment about my life was my haircut.
You and Tim do have the same haircut.
And, you know, I said to my mother, did you cut our hair?
Yeah.
Because I thought there's only one way that haircut could exist, which is someone who's not a hairdresser did that. But no, we were taken to a hairdresser and we got that haircut.
Yeah. I like your first day at big school picture, because you sort of, I mean, you don't look like me. I look nothing like you, Jennifer. But it's just the style and the era.
Oh, I know. Everything's the uniform's too big. Yeah. You don't know how to tie a proper tie.
Very, very
good. The hair is like sort of sad curtains.
I still have that, actually.
Oh, no, Louise.
I know.
I had you down as a bubbly blonde.
Oh, did you? Well, I was once. Well, actually, for a very, very long...
You sound very, very young.
Do I?
Yes.
Oh, God, I love you. You think I'm blonde and you think I'm young.
Yes.
No, I'm brunette and really, well, middle-aged.
Are you old?
44.
No, that's not middle-aged anymore. Don't you know? They've redefined it.
Oh,
Middle age starts at 50 now. I'm middle aged.
Oh, I am young then.
You are.
It's a fact.
Because they say in the next 20 years, life expectancy is going to go up so much that middle age now has to start.
When you're
at 50.
Yeah. Oh, well, I can
live
with
that. Oh, you're just a young strip of a thing.
Come on. No, but I'm not blonde. I was blonde for a long, long time. And met my husband when I was blonde. And now I'm no longer blonde because I never really was blonde anyway.
Right. Now you've still got a husband?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Only by the
stuck with
skin
the hair.
Of my teeth. Yeah, he really doesn't like it though.
Oh
no! Every time I go to the hairdresser,
blonde, because now it hides the grey very, very well. Being blonde,
yes,
you'll find that, Louise. You'll find, Louise, that you may want to go back to blonde when the old salt and pepper starts happening.
I will. I'll tell my husband's called Tim. Tim's popping up all over the place. Yeah, I'll tell Tim that I've had my hairdressing advice from Jennifer Saunders. He'll be delighted. So tell me about the comedy, the humour. Where did that come from in the family? Were you a humorous family? You know, was there lots of laughter in the home?
Yes, I dedicated the book to my dad for teaching me about laughter. And about how important it is, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think in our house, it was a kind of default mode was fun and laughter and making jokes. I mean, not serious jokes, but being amusing, I think.
Yes.
And he always said you can be serious, but never take yourself seriously was his
Yeah,
thing
laughing
he believed
at yourself
in.
Is very good.
Yeah, you've got to find stuff funny.
I'm trying to encourage my teenager to do that now.
That's hard with
teenagers.
She's
16 and she doesn't find
funny
at all.
No, don't laugh when they slam the door. That's fatal. Can I say that? We used to sit, and I write about it in the book, we used to sit with I got three teenage daughters at one point, you know, they were all teenagers, and they used to sit at supper time and give each other the evils.
Oh, yeah. We've
and
got that.
We'd go, stop it. And they go, what? We're not doing anything. Like, what? And we go, you're giving each other the evils now, just stop it. No, we're not. Oh, my God. How can you think that? And it was like, and then one of them would hit the other one on the head with a spoon and the whole thing would blow up, you know. So you've got to tread carefully.
Is it a girl thing, do you think?
I think it is.
Oh, it's chaos, isn't it?
It is, because...
Well, we've got... I was interviewing a psychologist not so long ago who I described to him our family setup, and he said... He described it as something like the perfect nightmare or something.
It's like the perfect storm.
Yeah.
Is that the sort of thing?
He said we've got a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 5-year-old.
Oh, yes.
So that's hideous.
Yes.
Anyway, enough about me and my hideous life. Let's talk about you and your lovely life.
You should write a book.
When did you meet Dawn French? When did that happen?
I met her at college.
Okay.
She was at the same, doing a teach. We trained as teachers. Now you can laugh.
Be brilliant.
We trained as teachers and we trained as drama. I think it was drama. I can't quite remember the course we were on. But she wanted to be a teacher and she did become a teacher for a year, actually.
Yeah.
After we left college.
What happened to you with your teaching aspirations?
Nobody wanted me. Isn't that sad, Louise? Nobody.
No, well, you didn't want teaching.
No,
it
I didn't.
Teaching, teaching could do with you.
Could it?
Yes.
Could it really? In the book, there's a moment I describe when I'm on teaching practice, which was a shock to my system, in a school in Peckham, which is quite it's also a roughish school, you know, and I was given the roughest class as a student because the only thing I had to do was keep them in the room. That was my only thing I had to do.
Did you have any cigarettes?
Them in the room. No, but they brought music to the class.
Oh, right.
And they said, normally we just play records. And I said, no, you're going to do a bit of a lesson and then you can play records. So I got through about 10 minutes of a lesson and then they put on the records.
I think that's
and then
good.
They started saying, dance, miss, dance. Right. Dance. And I'm saying, no, I can't dance. I don't dance. No, dance, miss, dance. Like this. At which point I started rather pathetically dancing. I heard the door open behind me, looked round, and there Dawn French was standing. Because her school had had the day off, and she had come to watch me teaching.
And you saw you
to
dancing.
Open the door to dance, miss, dance. I had to continue.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't become a teacher, Louise.
Well, I understand now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just wasn't a good dancer.
Has your dancing improved?
No.
No.
I'm really not good at dancing.
Really?
It takes me a long time.
Oh.
You know, when I look at those people on Strictly and I think, I can always spot me.
Yeah.
You know, the one that would be me.
Yeah.
Although I think actually Vanessa Feltz is much better than I am.
Oh, she, yeah.
Yeah, well, she's doing rather well, actually.
Gives it a whirl, doesn't she? I think if you go
I
for it.
I think, you know, I look for the person who's my age and how they're doing at the dancing. And they're always much better than I would be.
I wouldn't be able to do the, you know, when they have to do all that sexy stuff.
No, that's, I know.
I think that's quite embarrassing.
It's terribly embarrassing. And also that thing where they have to hug each other and kiss each other all the time after they've done their dancing. That's quite embarrassing, isn't
especially
it?
Especially when you're sweaty.
Yes. Yeah. And I just don't think I would take it seriously. And that's my big problem.
Yeah.
Taking things seriously.
Has that been a problem throughout your life?
Yes, it has. It has.
But you must have taken work seriously. I mean, to be as successful...
Oh, I take work seriously.
Oh, work, yeah. Yeah, but nothing else.
But it's nothing else at all. No, I take my life. And of course, there's things you take seriously. But there's things like serious acting, you see. I've never really done proper serious acting. And I think that's because... I find most things quite funny, and I find me trying to be serious really funny.
Yeah. I'd like to see you reading the news or something.
I could do that very well.
Yeah, I think you might.
Except they stand up now doing it, you see, from an iPad, and I don't think I'd be very good at that.
Oh, see, I don't like that because I wouldn't know what to put on my legs, whether it would be opaques or, or, you know, the see-through, what are those called, the old-fashioned
ones. They must be furious, those stand-up newsreaders. Furious! Wasn't they? Just to think, you used to be able to get away with just a nice jacket.
Yeah, I know they've got to buy the whole set now.
You've got to have
and
legs.
Tights.
You've got to find some legs, put the legs on.
When did you and Dawn get together then as a comedy duo? When did that
happen? Actually last year of college, because there was a college cabaret, and it was mainly the actors that did it, because we were at an acting college. But they had a teaching course there, as a degree course there. But most of the college was at Central School of Speech and Drama. It was for actors, you know. And the actors put on a cabaret at the end of term. And it was mainly, you know, just soppy actors sort of reading poetry and sort of poncing about a bit and, you know, playing a song on a guitar. And we decided we'd go along and do a bit of comedy. And it was unheard of for teacher trainers to do this, but we worked out a little sort of a mimed circus act. Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
A mimed circus act. We put on black leotards. We put nipple tassels on our backs so it looked like the leotards were on back to front. We put on very tight red swimming hats and painted our faces, and we did a mimed and went down a storm.
Is there a picture of that in the book?
Yes, there is.
Oh, no way. Hang on. Where?
It's called The Men of Patsy Sisters.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
In the book.
Got
it'll
to
be
find
in
it. Is
probably
it the
second lot of pictures.
I know. If I put the book, close the book.
I'm so glad you're looking at the pictures in the book now.
It's not in the second lot because that's all about age.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it must be in the first lot.
Hang on. Black leotards.
By the way, listeners, there's lots and lots of pictures in this book.
There's lots of words as well.
Yes, there
I'm
are.
Distracted now.
There's about 90,000 words in all.
Gosh, how long does that take to write?
Oh, months.
Really?
Absolute months.
Oh, I've seen it. You look ridiculous.
Thank you. That's my career.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you look so serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so a very serious act.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We did that, and we did it the next year as well. And then that became our thing. We started to be a comedy act.
Wow. And then worked together for, it's 30 years, isn't it?
It's since 1978 we've worked together.
Yeah, that's 30 years.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a long time, isn't it?
Worked, yeah.
No, it's
it
not.
Just says that in front of me.
It's more than 30 years, I think.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Deciding to, after all that time, deciding to no longer be French and Saunders. That was 2008, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, 2009, actually. We did our last gig together in 2009.
Was that
New
a big
Zealand.
Decision, or were you both just
well,
thinking...
Well, you know, it was mainly a decision made by the TV companies, I think, as much as anything, in that we'd sort of had had a good run.
Yeah.
And our shows are very expensive to make, you know, the big shows we used to do with all the film parodies and all that, they were quite expensive to do, and they just don't have that sort of budget anymore for comedy. And so we sort of thought, well, what's the point? So let's go out on a high. Let's go before they kick us away, you know what I mean? And we made that decision. We did our last gig in New Zealand.
Yeah, fantastic.
But it's funny, it seemed like more emotional a decision for other people than it was for us, because... You know, we still see each other, and we
and
still
pals.
Have, yeah,
yeah,
and we still have a lot of fun. And if I want, you know, we can go and make up a sketch together and do it to each other, which is most of the fun anyway.
You've got to dig those leotards out and those red hats,
I think so.
Yeah, come
I think.
The world's ready for that now.
I think the comeback, the Men of Patsy comeback. Oh, yes.
And then, of course, another comedy partner, Joanna Lumley, Patsy to your Adina in Ab Fab.
I mean, I like a double act, you see.
You do?
I do.
Yeah. And they work so well. Ab Fab's just amazing. Love it. Can't get enough of it.
Good.
Can't get enough of it. How did Ab Fab start? How did it start out?
It started because we'd booked some studios to do a French and Saunders, and Dawn, at that time, was waiting to adopt a baby.
Yeah.
And the baby came along just as we were about to go and start work on French and Saunders. So she took loads of time off, obviously. And I thought, oh, that means I've got lots of time off. Hurrah. I'll go and do some gardening or some sweeping or something. I'll go, you know, just mess about, watch telly. And but my agent rang and went, love, wondering if you could possibly, you know, do something, love, you know, on your own, since you've got the studios, love. And I thought, oh, my God, is she mad? What, on my own, writing on my own? And so she said, yes, love, I think it would be quite a good idea. So I wrote Ab Fab.
Wow.
I know. Where extraordinary.
Where did it come from? Had Ab Fab been in your head?
Ab Fab had been, I mean, we'd done a sketch in French and Saunders where I'd played a sort of a Dina character and Dawn had played the daughter. She's furious she didn't get the job eventually. And so I thought, well, I quite like that character and I can write that character. And to be honest, you know, it was about a 10-minute sketch. So I thought, well, it's only got to be another 10 minutes and you've got a show. So I set about it.
Fantastic. Mm. And getting the cast together with it. Yes. You know, Joanna Lumley, was she always part of the plan?
No, she wasn't actually. Because originally I'd written the character as the Patsy character as a sort of hard-nosed journo, you know. And it was based on my friend Harriet, who is one of my best friends, Harriet Thorpe. And
Is she delighted?
She's delighted. but she's not a hard-nosed journo, but it's based on the fact that, what she does as a friend is so fantastic. What she does is completely support you, which is if you say, oh, I can't believe this, you know, these people have said this and this, and she goes, well, honestly, darling, they should be lucky to have you. They should be lucky to have you. Now, you just tell them this and you just tell them that. And for goodness sake, you know how to do this stuff. Why are you listening to them? You're better than that. You're better than that. And so that's the kind of friend she was originally. But then we cast Joanna. And we cast Joanna because some friends of mine, and a fat aide, I think, had said, you know, she's really funny.
Yes.
And they'd seen her on the Ruby Wax show playing herself. And she's really funny. But I couldn't quite see it at first. But we got there eventually.
Yeah. And did you know then, when you embark on a new project, do you know as soon as, you know, whether it's rehearsals, I don't know what point you all get together, do you know straight away it's going to work? Or does sometimes it take a little while to click?
I thought it was going to work, but I didn't think it would be as popular as it became. I always thought it could work because it had such a great cast. I mean, you know, you think you've got June Whitfield, Julia Sawala, you've got Jane Horrocks and Joanna. I mean, they all have their own audience too, you know.
Yes.
So it's kind of got a built-in audience. And I just didn't think it would ever be that successful, really.
Yes, yeah.
It was a small BBC Two show, you know, and the BBC Two used to have lots of little start-up comedies on it, and that's what I imagined it would be.
And how quickly did you realise that it was going to be massive?
I think probably after the second series it became much, much bigger, and it got a huge gay following, which was fantastic for us. And it's that the sort of meant that it sort of went to America and other places.
Yes.
It became a sort of gay cult, and And that was extremely rewarding. Yeah,
you've been asked before, haven't you, about writing a film, an Ab Fab film? Do you fancy that?
Yes, I might do it.
I think you
but
should.
I go hot and cold on it, so don't hold your breath.
Oh, it would be good, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be such fun to do, and that is the absolute truth. And I'm thinking, well, whatever, you know. It would just be.
Come on, I know, Joe, pull I know, your finger out.
Jack,
get it done.
I know Jack Lumley wants to do it. So.
And what about the future? Do you plan ahead? Are you that kind of person where you think, oh, okay, so looking ahead now to next year, this is what I'm going to do, or does it all just happen?
No, I haven't really got a plan. Actually, it kind of scares me if I know too far in advance what I'm doing. Mm. I get a sort of diary claustrophobia where I just can't see a way out. You just think, well, when am I going to watch telly? When am I going to see Bargain Hunt again? Look, I'm working every day. And I just think, well, obviously I watch it on iPlayer. Yes, Louise, I do.
Yeah. But you're okay with technology?
I'm quite good with technology.
Marvellous.
Yes. But no, I don't really have a plan for next year, which I quite like.
Well, could you please just write the film version of AbFab?
Well, then I shall, just for you.
Then next year's sorted, isn't it?
Yes. Thank you. There you go.
I'll leave that with you then, Jennifer Saunders,
thank
if that's okay.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for spending time with us this afternoon.
That was fun.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah. Jennifer Saunders, her book, Bonkers, My Life in Laughs, is out now. Well, isn't she a lot of fun?